It is with the postulate that the spiritual man has no birth that we are going to start our contemplation or research on the subject of immortality. Certainly, we should begin with the fact that man never has been born into matter. Too many people, including Christian Scientists, are working to keep from passing on. Aren't they starting from the wrong end of the problem? If they were rejoicing that they had never experienced material birth, they would be realizing that that which was never born can never die. The greatest, most erroneous lie that there is about man is that he has a material origin. Should we not be denying this lie more than any other? In the textbook, Mrs. Eddy gives a remarkable spiritual interpretation of these verses in Revelation. Quote, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth." Close quote. Of this interesting vision, she writes, quote, "This angel had in his hand a little book open for all to read and understand. Did this same book contain the revelation of divine science, the right foot or dominant power of which was upon the sea, upon elementary latent error, the source of all error's visible forms? The angel's left foot was upon the earth, that is, a secondary power was exercised upon visible error and audible sin." Close quote. Let us take heed, lest we place our foot only upon visible error and audible sin. When we deny the aches, the pains, the sickness, the sin, our work is less than half done. We must not forget to handle, reduced to nothingness through a clear realization of God's allness, the elementary, latent error, the source of all error's visible forms. What is that elementary error? It can be nothing else but the belief that man was born into matter. Remember that the angel felt it important to place the right foot, or dominant power, upon the source of all error's visible forms, that of material birth. If the angel were to stand on one foot only, he had better stand on the right foot, for if there were no latent elementary error, that of man having been born into matter, there could never be any visible error. There would be no physical body to have disease, no material sense to feel pain, no mortals with whom to be in conflict, no matter to accumulate error, no mortal mind to be worried or fearful. How well is the right foot of omnipotent truth placed upon the latent error of material birth, when we know that man is immortal and understand that he is so. Mrs. Eddy has many wonderful statements to point out that man has never been born. One such statement brought me healing and helped me see that because I had never been mortalized or materialized, I couldn't be involved in an accident. I had fallen from a great height upon a sharp rock. In turning to God for help, I remembered this statement, quote, "Man cannot fall from his high estate." Close quote. Upon finding this statement in the textbook, I learned that it was only because I had never been born that it was impossible for me to fall. You are probably familiar with the passage which reads, quote, "Never born and never dying, it were impossible for man, under the government of God in eternal science, to fall from his high estate. Close quote. What would it be like never to have been born? Never to have had a material conception, I questioned. The answer came as if it were God speaking. Your 17th sister was never born. At first I was a little startled by that reply, but as I thought about it, I could see clearly that because my 17th sister had never been born into matter, she had no physical body to fall, and there was no force to cause a fall. I realized that she had never left heaven for earth, never been mortalized or materialized. She was still living in God. She could never fall. Her being was spiritual, and therefore immune to injury or bruise. The only substance that ever touched her was spirit. Therefore there was no cause for injury. And then I rejoiced that what was true of my 17th sister was also true of me. For I, too, had never been born into matter. This spiritual illumination as to my true identity was further supported by Mrs. Eddy's reference to immortality in Science and Health. Quote, "Divine science rolls back the clouds of error with the light of truth and lifts the curtain on man as never born and never dying, but as coexistent with his Creator." Close quote. Naturally, the healing was instantaneous and complete. What better description could we find of a man as immortal than is given in Hebrews? Quote, "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God." Close quote. Through the illumination of Christian science, you can understand it, claim it, rejoice in it. This letter to the Hebrews brings up an important question. Are we going to deny mortal parentage, as the apostle suggests? We must, if we are going to be consistent in claiming immortality. How can we say we are the children of God and then say we are born of material parents? Remember that there cannot be two of us, both the son of the king and the gypsy. There is only one identity, and that one is the Son of God. Jesus set the example for us of denying earthly parents. He claimed God as his father at the early age of 12, when he told Mary and Joseph that he had been about his father's business. He disclaimed all human relationships when he said, quote, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Close quote. Are we being cold, cruel, unloving, when we deny that those dear ones whom we have called our parents are our parents, and deny them as the source of our being? No, rather we are blessing them. Instead of seeing them as mortals, born into mortality, giving birth to mortality, subject to sin and disease, we are blessing them as immortal children of God, spiritual, perfect, subject only to the laws of God. Women have been healed in science from displaced organs, varicose veins, and other problems due to childbirth by denying themselves as mortals giving birth, but rejoicing that their children were immortal expressions of God's being, having no other source. Problems of eczema, asthma, diabetes are far less likely to develop in families where children and parents alike accept God as the only parent. the only Creator. Love is not lacking. In fact, there is an awareness of the presence of greater love, the love that is the liberator. All that is lacking is the smothering, the binding, the restricting of a human sense of love. A healing law for any problem of heredity, whether it be a disease or a dispositional trait, is the truth that God is the only parent. Never born of material parents, man cannot inherit qualities or conditions of a mortal race. Born only of God, he can inherit only the qualities and conditions derived from deity. A man brought healing for himself, his father, and his son when he disclaimed all mortal relationship with his father or son. He realized that because all three were children of God, they could inherit only the qualities of God. This meant that he had not inherited asthma from his father, nor had his son inherited it from him. He reasoned that no one of the three had inherited the human tendencies of fear, frustration, emotional conflict, which might contribute to a belief of asthma. Moreover, he saw that because there was no such thing as mortal relationships, there could be no smothering sense of love, which so often is the claim in connection with asthma. He rejoiced that each one reflected the generous, freeing love of God. The long-sought healing was quickly realized by the application of the simple truth that God is our only source and creator, our only father-mother. Seeing each other as children of God, hence all brothers and sisters in one spiritual universe, parents will never be a burden upon children, nor children upon parents. All will be wholly and completely dependent upon God, independent of each other as far as false responsibilities and attachments are concerned, and thus happily and harmoniously related. By the way, how old are you? Were I to put each of you on the witness stand right now, make you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, what would your answer be? How wonderful that you are ageless. Never having been born, you cannot be a day old, much less 30, 40, or 50 years of age. How old is your 17th sister? Never having been born, does she have any days or years to count? No, neither do you. The truth about man's age is that he is forever brand new. He is forever, immediately, and instantaneously the effect of God's being. Just as the sun's ray, although it may have existed millions of years, right at this instant is just what the sun caused it to be, so man, the reflection of God, the expression of God's being, is right at this instant just what God caused him to be. No wonder that man is eternal. He, like the sun's ray, is forever being created brand new. Even though man is immediate and instantaneous, he is mature, the complete, perfect image and likeness of God, reflecting all of God's qualities to the fullness and in perfect balance. This is what Mrs. Eddy meant when she compares life to the sun and manhood to its eternal noon. There is no noontide of an accumulation of years, but only the fullness, the completeness of reflection. How better could our true spiritual birth be expressed than this wonderful quotation from Science and Health, quote, "Creation is ever appearing, and must ever continue to appear from the nature of its inexhaustible source. Close quote. Having no age, it is impossible for man to pay the penalties connected with age. The fundamental truth of no birth closes the door on childhood diseases. Is there a receptive thought to measles and chickenpox when a family is rejoicing that man is ageless? When parents are not thinking of their little ones as infants or tiny tots, but as mature ideas of God? Skin problems connected with adolescence yield readily to the glorious truth that man, never having been born, is not one day old, much less 17 years old. Certainly, one who rejoices consistently that he is immortal and understands that he is so cannot possibly undergo any penalty for change of life. Never having been born, he is not one day old, much less 50 years old. Knowing that life is God, changeless, ageless, he must necessarily demonstrate changeless perfection and harmony. Even the problems which come with 65 years of age are readily solved when ageless immortality is claimed. A friend of mine was quite concerned because her father was forced to retire at the age of 65. He had been a very active man in his work, and she was fearful the inactivity would result in problems. When it was brought to her attention that man is immortal, and therefore ageless, she rejoiced along these lines. Realizing that he had never been born, and therefore could not possibly be 65 years of age, she knew that it was inconceivable that her father would have to pay a penalty for that which did not exist. Moreover, she could see that God never retires his children, but he is forever employing them to the fullest. One day the father met a friend. The friend asked him how he was getting along. The father replied that he was getting along well, but of course he would rather be working. The friend said, "Why, I know any number of people who would love to employ a man like you." Within a week's time, the father was employed doing precision work. Even though he had been the head of a department of a large organization for which he had worked for years, he was making more money on his new job. It was only 3 weeks till Christmas, but at Christmas time, along with other employees, he received a gift from the company, the first he had ever received from any company. Aren't we grateful that because we know and understand immortality, that we do not have to accept any penalty for age? How wonderful that none of us ever have to grow old. We are now and ever will be the immediate expression of God's being, manifesting his freedom, his strength, his intelligence, his divine activity to the fullest. For we are immortal, and we understand it. What then shall we do with birthdays? Mrs. Eddy tells us in Science and Health, "The measurement of life by solar years robs youth and gives ugliness to age." She says that we should never record ages, that timetables of birth and death are so many conspiracies against manhood and womanhood. Let us be consistent about this business of never having been born. Instead of saying in one breath, "We cannot pay penalties for birth since it never happened," and then in the next breath claiming a birthday or wishing someone else a happy one, why celebrate that which never occurred? Allow me to put some questions to you, just as Mrs. Eddy does in Miscellany. Is God infinite? Yes. Did God make man? Yes. Did God make all that was made? He did. Is God spirit? He is. Did infinite spirit make that which is not spiritual? No. Who or what made matter? Matter as substance or intelligence was never made. Is mortal man a creator? Is he matter or spirit? Neither one. Why? Because spirit is God and infinite. Therefore, there can be no other creator and no other creation. Man is but his image and likeness. Are you a Christian Scientist? I am. Do you adopt as truth the above statements? I do. Then why this meaningless commemoration of birthdays, since there are none? People often ask, what about birthday presents? Presents are an expression of love. Well, we are all happy to give gifts, and we love the thought that prompts someone else to give them. But why attach the stigma of fiction, unreality, a lie, to a gift? Why help dig the grave by attaching the word birthday to a gift? Some say, I don't think of the age part. The day is just my special day. Certainly, we are all deserving of a special day if we want one. But why select the one called a birthday? Why not select another day and make it yours? One couple I know is certainly unaware of birthdays. Those days just flit by without any recognition, much less celebration. Instead, they celebrate Valentine's Day. That is a day of expressing love, anyway. So they plan celebration events, give gifts, really make that day a special one for both of them. Have you ever realized how easy it is to see your fellow man as perfect when you were conscious of the fact that he has never been born?